You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
We are your hosts. This is We Were Promised Gods. We're your hosts. I'm Jane Nohilgaria.
That's the case.
Star Child.
Shorty.
Hello, girls, and welcome back to another episode of We Were Promised Crowns.
Woo!
Woot! Woo. What was I going to say? So let's go right into crushing, girls. Who wants to start?
I can start.
Go
Mine
for
is
it.
Pretty brief, but kind of like long, but brief. so I remember, I think last podcast I talked about my concerts that I would go to the weeks that were coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw this band, this Mexican alternative rock band called DLD, mm-hmm. Which their name is Dildo, but they couldn't go with that name, so they had to change it to DLD. They fucking rocked my socks off. They were amazing. And because this is like my first... I don't want to say, but like my Mexican small fucking concert type of deal, and I got into a small little mosh pit.
Is that the one at the Roxy?
Yeah, at the Roxy. I almost got into a fight. I broke up two fights.
What?
I broke up two fights. I got beer spilled all over me.
Wow.
And then like the mosh pit thing.
What?
Nice.
Yeah. And that was the best experience ever because I was like sweating out and like, this is so totally worth it. Cause
yes.
I,
like small venue and Spanish bands perform way different. Where the crowds are way different.
They're way, way. Like this, that's why it was such a different experience for me. Because I was like, we're all fucking crazy ass motherfuckers. Don't give a fuck about anything. And they go, go. And it was a Wednesday and people were trash. And I was like, man, I should have got it on your level. And these hits in my arm wouldn't hurt.
Right?
Because I also have a morete on my like a bruise on my knee. And so I'm like,
that's funny. That's what happened to me too. I ended up with a bruise on my knee.
You
too.
Don't know until like, what the fuck is this?
No, I felt the contact. I was like,
did?
Ooh, that was shin on shin. I was gonna have a bruise.
Oh yeah. So I think that was one of my major crushes because it was a completely different environment. I loved mm-hmm. it. I totally recommend DLD. I recommended it to Basket Case. So I don't know if you had a chance to listen to them, but I loved it. And then my second crush was this is a small one because I feel like. It's gonna happen. I went to the Gloria Trevi Alejandra Guzman concert, and it literally.
I have to ask: are you Team Gloria or Team Alejandra?
Ah, fuck it, right? This is gonna happen.
Yeah,
I'm not even gonna lie. I love, love, love Alejandra Guzman and Gloria Trevi. Both, they're amazing artists. But I would have to say my love for it started first with Gloria Trevi, since the beginning, like her first album all the way to now, like I have seen this woman through her hardships and through where she is now, and I feel like Gloria Trevi is my gal. But Alejandra Guzman killed it. Like I love Gloria Trevi, but Alejandra Guzman won that concert for me. She
Yay.
Had so much energy. She's fucking amazing, and like so much respect for that lady because she said because she knows her crowd base, like her audience is much smaller than Gloria because Gloria is fucking huge, and at the concert she's like. I love all of you guys, even though you guys might not all be my fans, but I'm going to be here for y'all. Like, this is for you. And I was like, you fucking.
That's
like,
great.
That is the best shit ever. And for me, Alejandra won it. And I'm Gloria, but Alejandra, I have to give it to her hands down. She's amazing, talented, and yeah.
Yeah, I'm Team Guzman. So I don't even want. I want to go to that concert because they're going to be in Anaheim in September.
Yeah.
But I don't know any Gloria Trevi songs. Right. Mm-hmm. I might know him if I hear then I'll be like, oh, that's her.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fan of hers. But I want to see Alejandra Guzman, like, alone.
Mm-hmm.
Her show, for sure, I would mm-hmm. go.
Yeah.
But this tour, I'm kind of iffy.
Yeah, no,
because of Gloria Trevi.
Yeah.
I don't know any of her songs.
That's crazy because, like, the beauty of it is that they kind of sang each other's songs, so they would, like, mix, I guess. But it was like, if you wouldn't know, if you don't know Gloria Trevi's songs, I don't think you would enjoy it as much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it would be better if you would wait for an Alejandra Guzman show.
Yeah.
Gloria Trevi, they took turns. Like, I thought it would be one. No, it was, like, chunks of Gloria, chunks of Alejandra. So it may not be that worth your while for it.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason. But
just keep an eye out for Alejandra because she...
I know she's toured in the past alone. And I'm like, oh, I need to find that again. Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah, that's my crush.
Nice. Who else wants to go crush?
I haven't been here because I was sick and dying last episode, but aww. I saw you in Ensenada on your snap. Miraculously got better by the weekend.
What a recovery.
Yeah, I know. No, seriously, I actually went kind of sick still, and my friend was like, hey, you're going to be down. It's like Wednesday, and she's like, we're planning this weekend. You're still going to be down. I'm like, yeah, I'll be better by then. Somehow.
Alcohol is the motivator.
And sure enough, it was Friday, and I was like, I'm getting better, I swear. What time are we leaving tomorrow? And yeah, we went out there, and by Saturday night, I was like, okay, I'm not sick. Let's do this. What are we doing?
Nice.
How long were you there?
Just the weekend. Saturday. We left Saturday. We were out there Sunday, and we came back Monday evening, since Monday was the holiday. And then
oh,
it was
cool. Was there a lot of traffic?
On the way there, we got a lot of traffic. Mm. Yeah. Everybody was leaving L.A., apparently. Mm-hmm. I thought they would head towards Vegas or something, but everybody was going to Mexico, too.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And on the way back, there was a lot of traffic, too, but we kind of shaved off an hour and a half easy.
How did you do that?
My friend was driving. Well, my friend's brother was driving. And there's this, I don't know if you're familiar, but sometimes the cops out there tape off, like, lanes for
no reason.
Inexplicable reason. So my friend's brother is like, jefe, esa línea pa qué es? You know, like, what's up with that lane? Why is it blocked out? And the guy's like, oh, you can't pass through there. And my friend's brother has, like, a $20 bill in his hand. He's like, no habría manera de pasar, like, showing him the bill. And the guy was like, how much is it? Like, what's in your hand?
Uh-huh.
And he was like, is that 20? And then he was like, okay, ahorita te abro, nomás esperas que te haga una señal. And we're like, oh shit,
it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sure enough, like, the cop, he went back to the corner because they have body cameras.
Oh, nice.
That don't record audio. So that's how they were able to have that conversation. But he can't take the money because then the camera would pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
So he sends this newspaper seller for the money, who's his front man, apparently.
Oh,
and then the newspaper guy is just like, all right, just wait until he, like, signals you. And in Spanish, of course. And then so we were just parked for, like, 3 minutes. And the cop is doing his regular, you know, hand signaling for all the lanes to go. And all of a sudden, he lifts the tape and we go through. And we're like, what the fuck? We just cut off all of those cars.
That is so amazing.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I know. I told my friend, because we've been to Rosarito in the past, like, without her brothers. And I was like, all right, now I learned. And I was like, I'm not scared of doing that. And then her brother was like, don't try that. Don't try that if we're not here.
Yeah, no.
That's kind of cool, though.
I was like, oh, my God, I feel so, I don't know what to feel.
That's so cool.
Exclusive.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, great. And we got here, like, 3 hours.
Nice.
When it easily would have been 5.
Right.
Because of all the traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah, passing that line is, like, crazy. Uh-huh. Crazy. Yeah.
But I had a lot of fun while I was out there. It kind of was really chill, except for nighttime, of course. There's no chill in the nighttime. But I experienced the hot springs bath. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I don't know. In Spanish, they're called aguas termales or something like that. So you go to this facility that controls the water that's naturally sprouting out of the earth, and then they fill up your little sauna-like room, which is kind of like this room. The nice one is this size about. and then the other ones are smaller and more individual. So in the in one in this size, it's like two people fit in the tub. And you're there, you pay 20 pesos for 30 minutes. So it's like 30 minutes for a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, and you're taking this steamy-ass bath with natural waters that freaking open up your pores. And
that sounds beautiful.
Yeah, and you can feel the water different. I swear to God, my feet came back. Well, I don't wear, like, tennis shoes a lot. So my feet tend to get dry, you know, they're always out. Mm-hmm. So I came back, my feet are still smooth.
What?
I was like, what is this miracle water?
How do I get this water?
Yeah.
Ship it to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just like, import that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, I feel the struggle. When I wear sandals, yeah, they get dry. And then I'm like, oh. And I moisturize, but still.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, oh, my God, when is this going to wear off? I don't know. But
when it does, I got to go back.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And you know what's funny? Like, I swear, my friend was telling me, like, she had been to it before. And she was like, they're kind of like healing water, supposedly. But I don't really believe that. And I was like, my throat is still sore. And I was like, so maybe it'll help. But I was kind of kidding. But after that, for sure, I was better. I was like, what is this?
Miracle brujeria. Brujeria.
Okay,
that's what
it does me again.
Witch. No, just kidding. Dunk me again. That's cool. I like it.
Yeah, it was a really good experience all around.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That's super cool. I didn't even know that existed down there. Nice. Mm-hmm. Rosarito, right?
No, we were in Ensenada this
time. Oh, Ensenada. Yeah. Okay, got it. Cool.
Nice.
What about you, Shorty?
Crushing. I have two things. One was last Memorial Day weekend, knocking out a lot of monkish beers with the other half.
I saw that. You guys were drinking up a storm.
Yeah. And
what was I doing? I was sleeping, wasn't I?
What were you doing? What were you doing?
I don't even know.
That was
know.
On Monday. Sunday?
I have Monday. No idea. I don't even know what I was doing. I know that
Wait,
I didn't
when
go
did you
out.
Guys come? Sunday or Monday?
Monday.
Okay, it was Monday.
Okay.
It was Monday.
I must have been sleeping.
No, you were painting the other one, the other cabinet.
Oh, I was painting. I should. Okay, that's my crushing then. I couldn't.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! Yay!
So we knocked out a lot. One. Hold on. He has some of the cans in here, so I'm like. One, two. Five or six.
Wow.
Foggy window. Oh, it is. One, two, three, four, five. Five. Wow. We knocked out five. I want to say six. Six beers.
Hey, that's crazy.
It was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
No, I mean, we're fine. I mean, we started pretty early, so we were okay by later on. It was good.
I haven't day drank in a while. I feel like I should do that one day.
Yeah, we were just like, we don't have anything else to do. Why not? Mm-hmm. So we did it. Yeah. It was good. It was good. My other one is I realized that I miss cooking a lot. Because I know I'm used to cooking for one, and then sometimes I cook for more. But, like, at the house, my roommate actually was hosting this, like, lunch thing. Last minute decided to do it right after church. So I texted at 1:30, like, hey, what time are you having people over and whatever? At 2:30. I was like, what? Like, yeah, 2:30. And she comes in, like, 5 minutes later, nothing's cooked. She says to clean her bathroom, and I'm like, oh, Lord. And she's like, hey, can you help me cut? I was like, all right, I'll help you cut. You know, that's what I thought I was going to do. No, hombre. I ended up finishing up the carne molida for the tacos, which was turkey beef, yeah. Ended up doing that, and I helped her out with that. She helped me out, and she had already the chicken cut-ups to do chicken fajitas. And I'm right here cooking up a storm when all these people are coming in, can't really say hi. They're like, oh, hey, I'm like, hey, I'm here. And, you know, I had, like, I used the thing where you drain the pasta, whatever, the drainer, whatever that is.
Colander.
That one. I had that paper towels there, and, like, I had the cooked tortillas going in there. Well, I had the ones that are about to be cooked, like, right here on my forearm, And I had, like, two burners that I was, like, doing two each. I was like, whoop. I was like, man, I'm all over the place. And this is not even my thing. I'm supposed to just cut the vegetables. And it ended up being all this. But it was nice. Cooking for, like, a lot of people. And everybody liked it.
That's cool.
And it's funny because one of the guys, who's the only other Latino person there, is like, where's the rice? ¿Y el arroz? I'm like, hey, this is not my thing. If it was my thing, there'd be rice and beans. But it's not my thing. Es de la güera. Like, oh, okay. That makes sense. I was like, ya ves? So it was pretty funny. But it was good. It was good.
Nice.
And then today I made the tilapia. And I brought some for the other half who's not really big on fish.
Mm-hmm.
But he had it and he liked it.
That's
I was
cool.
Like, all right, cool.
Right on.
Not big on fish.
I know.
I know.
He's a weird Mexican.
I had the freshest fish out there.
Yeah, man.
I love it when they're
empanada.
Fresh.
Empanada. Oh, my God. Just thinking about it right now.
I want a mojarra frita. That's what I want.
Dude, Ensenada is where they have El Mercado Negro, right? Oh, man. Where they dock the ships around there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. That's like seafood heaven. Oh,
yeah, we ate there on
tacos.
The Monday.
So good.
Yep.
Excellent.
What about you, Jendo? What are you crushing on?
Paying her cabinet.
Well, yeah, I, Compton Eric was given some free cabinets. What are they called?
Filing cabinets.
They were scratched in some weird color, and but they were free. And so what I wanted to do is use them as dresser drawers because they're like metal. So I sanded and I painted and stuff. So I painted two cabinets and now I have two dresser drawers that are the same color and they match the wall paint. So I'm very excited about that. I made a little video I put on Facebook.
In El Face.
I'm getting really good at editing videos, so I enjoy that. And I also went to the Gloria Trevi concert. We pre-gamed it. My aunt came up on a ticket and which I still have to pay, but I'm good for it.
That's
knows where
so
I live.
Cool.
She knows where I live. Unfortunately, I did not have the same experience because we pre-gamed it. I've been on a diet for, I don't know, a month. So, and that includes not drinking.
Oh, so it hit you harder.
Oh,
than
my
thought.
God. And then, you know how I am after I start drinking, I want to keep drinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, and then Frank said, oh, enjoy the concert. I put some money in the bank account, so you can drink all you want. Bad idea.
Enabler.
He shouldn't have said that, because then I bought some Gaia drink. Mm-hmm. And what? And then, I don't know if you guys have Star Child on Snapchat, but... I fell asleep.
I got us better seats than what we got, what we paid for. And I was like, oh, yeah. So I scored us some good seats. And then this bitch wasted it and just fucking passes out.
I know, I saw that.
I didn't
I was
see
so
that.
Upset.
I was
like, how are you sleeping through that? How?
And it was, yeah.
Dang,
but
I did not
in her defense, it was during the Gloria Trevi part.
Yeah, because I'm King Guzman. Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it wasn't all
Reina
bad.
De corazones. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. I kind of wish I saw that.
Yeah, no.
Why didn't I check my snacks?
Yeah. Right? It was. I actually was wondering if he still had it so I could send it to Frank because he's like, I can't believe it.
I think I saved my that's so. I think I did.
Yeah. That's funny.
I think
I screenshot it like, but I'm going to talk to her about this. What happened here?
Mm-hmm. And so there's that. But the reason I was so tired, too, was I got up. I went to sleep kind of late and I got up really early because my other podcast, Comadres y Comics, hosted Wonder Woman
That's
Day
right.
at Heidi Ho
you
Comics on Saturday.
Things.
Yes.
Jeez Louise.
So we fortunately Compton and Jacob went along with me, so they helped out with the lasso toss.
Mm-hmm.
And the night before that, we had seen Wonder Woman, so it was fresh in everybody's mind. And mm-hmm. Jacob liked the movie, and it was just really great. There was a lot of cute little girls with their Wonder Woman outfits. We had a cosplay contest for kids, for pets, and for adults. Taffy won third place, even though I just put on a cape on her that I made that day. But it was a lot of fun, and it was just I think it was successful. Not as many people as I thought would come because we passed out like about 300 flyers at East LA Comic Con. So, but it was good. It was a good experience. You know, we got to interact with some people, and it was good. I took some doggy treats for the dogs, and it was just a nice family thing. We got to do some face painting, and we did some coloring of our own masks and stuff. It was cool. It was really cool. I won 5 free comics, and Jacob won 5 free comics. Nice. So it's really cool. I really enjoyed it. So that's what I'm crushing on. unfortunately, I don't know if you guys have heard, there was a terrorist incident in London. 7 people were killed in central London. There was 3 attackers. A van drove into pedestrians on London Bridge, and then
stabbed.
And then they launched this a knife attack on Borough Market. The attackers were shot dead by the officers. And it's definitely declared a terrorist attack. It's horrible that this is happening. They actually came out of the van and just stabbed multiple times whoever they can get their hands on. One of the attackers was heard saying, "This is for Allah," which I think is horrible, and I think Allah would not approve of this kind of violence and these kind of actions. It's really, really, really bad. They have been identified. 5 London hospitals are treating 35 victims. 18 are said to be in critical condition. The attackers were, one of them is Karam Shah Zad, but a 27-year-old British citizen born in Pakistan. The other is a 30-year-old. His name is Rachid Redouan. I'm totally probably fucking up their names. He claims to be a Moroccan and Libyan, so he also goes by the name of Rashid Ekadar. And the third one, they still are inquiring about, you know, the identity of these people. But it's
all 3 of them are dead?
Yes. Yes. They were shot several times. It's just freaking crazy.
This happened on Saturday?
On Saturday, yeah. It happened on Saturday. It's horrible what's happening in the world. It's horrible that they do it in the name of God. And I say God because I feel that, like, although maybe you have different religions, I feel like there's just one God. Right, right. And I think we should focus on that instead of our differences. And another thing I feel that is, if you do not like, our way of living, our Western life of living, then why did you move your family to London? Or, you know, why are you outside of the country that you're trying to represent?
You know what surprises me? Not to interrupt you, sorry.
No, no,
but go ahead. That they're so young.
That's true.
Like, they're kind of my age, so.
They're younger than me. It's horrible.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, I thought it was okay, like, you kind of excuse older generations because that's the life experiences they had, that's what they had growing up. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, a racist old man, you know, it's like that's what he saw growing up. So, yeah, it's still going to be in his mind, and that's going to be his way of life probably until he dies because, that's the way he was brought up. But we're younger. We weren't brought up that way. And in this case, I think that applies. You would think that would still apply to them, but, like, their religion is so influential to their life that they don't see outside of it, or what the hell?
It's hard. It's hard to
understand.
That's exactly where I was going. It's just so hard to understand or comprehend where they're coming from at all. Especially when it's such a violent act. I don't feel like I can open my mind to understand why they did this. And why they're saying it's in the name of their God. I don't understand it. And I think it's horrible. And I think, if anything, I think the God that they're representing is not happy about this.
Yeah, because Islam, it's the fucking the most peaceful religion ever. They're all about giving people. They're going through Ramadan right now.
Exactly.
And so, like, these are extremists. These do not represent the Muslim community in any way, because their religion is nothing about that, and they just don't represent their community as they should, because they, in any situation, if anything went wrong, the Islam community, they would be the first ones to help, because they're that's what their God, that's what Allah is telling them. Like, it's about giving and peace and love and harmony, and it's that. And so, like, when people, like, they say that, oh, I'm doing this for my God, and it's just so sad, because they don't know all the repercussions that come after them saying that. Because these people, these Westerners and others that aren't, that don't follow the Islam religion, already are scared of them. And mm-hmm. they're just furthering this idea of they're just violent killers that are just terrorists. And so, like, no, like, just like when they say, oh, Latinos are just lazy and people that just want to steal jobs. Like, it's just puts people in a negative light. And it's so sad that Europe and freaking United Kingdom, Britain is going through this, because they had it in Manchester, then they have it here. And it's just like so much is going on right now. And it's just so sad that we can't just come together.
So I guess why I'm bringing the subject up, I mean, it's current news. Mm-hmm. But more than anything, I think what I'm trying to say is try to open your mind and your heart to other people that, you know, are not like you. Because these three individuals and the ones that bombed in Manchester do not represent the Muslim community at all. And I feel that they're getting a bad rap right now. So, I don't know, like you were saying, like sometimes a smile can go a long way. I mean, if you try to open your heart to people around you that are different from you, maybe we'll never get to, I mean, you never even get to know your husband fully or your brother fully. I mean, it's just hard to understand where people are coming from, but maybe just share a message of love and not hate, and definitely not violence. Actually, I was at your house and we're watching this comedian. What was his name? He's Muslim.
Hassan.
This comedian is on Netflix. And his show on Netflix, a program?
A stand-up.
Stand-up. Was very funny, but at the same time, it made me cry.
It was very real.
It was super
same
real.
Same guy that did the Masters of None?
No,
that's Aziz.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean,
it's the guy that's in the Daily Show with...
with Trevor Noah, right?
Yeah. Oh,
this hot, sexy-ass Indian guy.
Super sexy. And he's a nerd, which I love. But
from California. Davis, California?
Oh.
Up north.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend you watch that if you want to laugh and cry at the same time. I recommend that stand-up on Netflix. He brings it really real to you, like, because his family is Muslim.
growing up in a white area, knowing what being like discriminated against or being
living through 9/11, his family, they went through.
Yeah.
I say if you like Aziz, you will definitely like Hassan.
Oh, okay.
That also gave me the same message, like, you know, be open-minded in a message of love, and trying to bring what they experience on a daily basis to, like, a larger audience that may not understand how they live as well. So, I'm just trying to, whoever's listening out there, please try to, I mean, I know we have our own lives to live and we have our own things to deal with, but if we could just, I don't know, send a message of love, and like how Star Child says that, like, just a smile can go a long way. It could just brighten somebody's day.
Agreed.
Anyway, let's move past that hate and violence and the torture.
Keep the love going.
Keep love going. Speaking of love, there is this list I came across that says, don't get married unless you ask your partner these 11 questions.
I hated that list.
Right? Isn't it, like, so funny? It says, first question is, why do you love me?
Because that bomb-ass dick.
Dang! Straight up!
That should be one of the reasons why you would love your partner, because sex is important in a relationship.
I agree.
I think. If you guys don't have the same sex drive, I think it's just going to go down the shitter from there. But okay.
You know,
take notes, gents. I know. Otherwise, you'll be faking it your whole fucking life.
Yeah, man.
Damn, that sounds like a sad life.
Frank asked me that question, and it was just like off the top of my head in that moment. I didn't really think about it. I answered, because we have potential. And he's like, I really like that answer. So I'm like,
I like
oh,
that
cool.
answer too.
Excellent.
But, circumstances were you guys under when he asked you that?
We were just walking. I think we were just walking at the beach or something. It was really like nonchalant, like straight out of the blue, and that was what I came up
Funny
with.
Funny thing is, I asked him that question when we were drinking.
Just like, why the fuck do you love me anyway?
Oh, yeah. Like, why do you, it was that. I'm like, why do you put up with my shit? I'm like, I'm very sarcastic. I make fun of him. He makes fun of me. I think I do it more. And it's just, I'm like, why?
Beautiful.
And he was like, I just do. I was like, okay. He said more, but
okay.
I just do was good enough. I was like, all right. I'm okay with that. I'm good.
The second question is, what are your goals and are you willing to adjust them for the relationship?
Again, under what circumstances do you ask someone that? Like, I don't know. I thought that this whole list, it's like, yeah, there are questions you need answers to, but the way they worded them is just like, how the hell, like,
who
I don't know.
This
conversation? I just had, like, a job. I was like, what is it, some job interview that he's...
Really? You guys, well...
I feel it's very abrasive.
Like, I feel like I've asked those questions or I know the answers to most of them.
Yeah. I mean, I know.
But I mean, I think it's better to ask those questions when you're with someone for a long time.
Right.
If it's like something that's like 3 months, maybe not yet. Maybe wait till the...
I'm
gonna
wait until
I'm
fucking 6 to 10 years into
this
shit.
I'm gonna wait until there's a ring on it. And then I'm like, okay, maybe we should discuss
Maybe you want those answers before you get the ring, though.
No, man, this is just an engagement ring. Shit can change, bitch. I can keep this shit, too.
You gave it to me.
I know. These questions are really funny. Number 3, do you know how to compromise?
I'm answering your fucking question, aren't I?
And I'm gonna get something for answering this, right?
That one took a while to learn.
That's for sure.
I got mad at him a lot in the beginning. Like,
oh, so for you, it was hard to compromise?
Him.
Oh. It was hard to compromise.
Because he was used to not voicing a lot of things, and I was like, it can't always be my way. Like, come on, I gotta hear you out. I mean,
yeah. Like, don't always follow what I say. Say no.
To me, it's the opposite. I'm like,
no quiero sexo. Bitch, you gonna give me this thing?
I want it now. I'm here to say no.
There's no compromise when it comes to that.
I say, let's go. We're going.
Yeah. You don't take the dick away.
What's your relationship with your family? Now, this one I feel is valid point.
Oh, yeah.
I can see that.
Because, but you don't ask it like that. You
observe it and you figure it out yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This isn't something like that'll, you just like.
Unless their family isn't around, then you have to ask like.
And then that are kind of already answers your question a little bit.
For example, I did someone whose family lived in a different country.
Oh, yes.
So I did have to ask. I'm like, how often do you talk to them? You know,
yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Very true.
That's a valid point.
Very true.
Why do you want to spend your life's journey with me? This was so...
That's such a... Okay,
I read that out loud to him, and he's like, who asked this question?
That's what
I'm
saying.
I don't like that one.
I think at that point, that's when I was
and
like...
And I was like, white people ask it this way.
Life journey? What?
White people ask that.
Like, I don't understand this.
Start asking me those by the time you hit number 5, I'm going to rethink the whole relationship. You annoying with these questions.
And number 6, I also did it, like I said, can you keep the romance alive? But why does it have to be, why did you have to ask your partner? It's supposed to be like a mutual thing.
Yeah, more like, agreed. How can we keep this?
The, yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, I'll do that thing that we've never tried. Let's keep this going.
Okay. There you go. I'm going to try it elsewhere, come back and let you know.
What? I'm gonna try that one position in this magazine. You know,
the wheelbarrow.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know if I could bend that way, but I mean, we could try.
Can you hold my legs up?
There you go.
Number seven. Can't you work through the rough patches? I don't think that's a question. That's sort of a statement. Can't you work through the rough patches? I think that comes with just life and being in a relationship. You'll see how they respond to rough patches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it, like you said, it's circumstantial. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, like, I mean, how are you going to imagine, you know, I have cancer and can I work through that?
Yeah.
No.
These just, that's what I was saying. This whole list, these just start spitting out hypotheticals. Mm-hmm. Like, how about we just live?
Yeah.
Figure shit out.
I fucking agree with that completely. Like, I don't want my life to be planned out like that.
It shouldn't be a checklist.
Yeah. Like, if I got to say, can you do this? Can you do that? Like, how am I going to learn? I want to learn through experiences, not by mm-hmm. you telling me. Because people can say one thing and not really mean that shit.
Right.
That's true. Because that's the best way to learn is by
the
being
honesty,
in it
yeah.
and then figuring out, oh, I don't like this.
Yeah.
But also the way you handle it has a lot to do how how your partner's reacting to the same situation. So, I mean, because you guys all bounce off each other.
Mm-hmm.
So this one's also weird. Number eight, what are your parenting skills? Well, I worked, like, in a nursery for 5 years.
Exactly. that's what kept running through my mind, some job interview.
Right. I don't know. I mean, is there kids?
I don't have parenting skills because I don't have kids.
Right.
You're about to find out.
Well, give me some statistics. Is our kid disabled? Is this a kid I have from another partner that you're going to take
if
in?
If it's out of wedlock.
Right. Or, you know. I mean, there's a lot of factors that need to be factored in.
Mm-hmm.
Number nine.
They're making life too simple, and life is not like that shit.
No. Number nine. Can you commit to grow with me instead of away from me?
What was it? What?
To grow with you instead of away from
you. Can
you
commit to grow with me and not away from me?
Again, I'm answering these fucking questions, aren't I? Growing with you?
I'm here, aren't I?
I'm present.
You know what? After these 10 questions,
I'm out.
I'm going away.
You have just distanced yourself from me with number nine. Number 10, will you continue to grow in the relationship?
Isn't it the same fucking one as the one above? Shit.
It's similar because you're saying, I see what you mean.
I think
okay, and 11 was like the killer for me. If my life is cut short, will you honor my memory forever?
I'm telling you. I read that one like two or three times.
I'm telling you. It must have been
question?
A white person that wrote this.
Like, you gotta mourn me for a few and then leave. I don't give a fuck. You gotta
throw yourself into the grave with me.
It's gonna be a Viking's funeral.
We're
like,
gonna bury you
burn
when I get buried. I don't care if you're alive.
Dead or alive, bitch. You go down with me.
I'm saying a Viking funeral.
Oh, and by the way, I'm not even getting buried. I'm getting cremated. So throw yourself into the pyre.
There you go.
Throw yourself into the pyre. I don't understand that one at all because, wouldn't you want your significant other mm-hmm. to, like, take
be
the
happy.
Time to mm-hmm. to mourn you, but at the same time, move on with their lives and be happy because that's what's important.
Maybe
this
person's a crazy psycho that is just, like, she's like, no, that's it. You got to answer these questions, that's it.
It's mm-hmm. a lot of, sometimes it shows, like, the person's insecurities or, like, the person that's not sure where the relationship is going at all. If you need to ask a lot of those questions, all of those questions, then you're just doing a job interview.
Yeah.
That's why
I was asking her, like, under what circumstances do you ask these?
Yeah, because you should be able to answer them. That's what I was saying. Like, I pretty much have an idea of what the answer looks like to all those questions, although some of those questions are kind of weird.
But you got an answer to number 11?
No, not till 11. I already Viking funeral. There you go. You're going down with me.
Yeah, like I think when they ask these type of questions, like you're not really enjoying the journey of the relationship. It's just kind of you're putting a lot more pressure on it. But then again, this is me thinking of like me being, I guess, younger in age and not really thinking about settling down right now.
No, but when you think that,
I wouldn't even ask some of these questions to Frank, and he's my husband. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Do you know the answer to number 11? That was like the trick question.
Like, you know, I'd want him to move on with this life, like, as fast as possible. And a lot of people, that's how they mourn. They get into another relationship right away. And that's not the wrong way. It's it's frowned upon, but that's just the way that person's built.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's just crazy. It's crazy, guys. That's
but having those questions in your head while you're dating, you're not really gonna let yourself be
in the relationship.
Free. Yeah, because you're gonna be constantly thinking, you know, can I mark off this
number 11?
I know.
Yeah. Do those questions? So you were saying that you know the answer to the most of them because you have a SO, and you know the answer to the majority.
I know. Yeah. I mean, a few.
Because you have a SO. Me being single, I'm just like, what the fuck? I don't want anybody asking me any of those. Like, I don't know the answer to any of them.
Well, not only that, I feel like these questions are like 10 times worse than when women are like just waiting for that them to pop the question.
I'm just like, is this
like where is this relationship is going?
Yes, in relationships, yes. I want none of that.
Right.
I agree.
If I have someone that asks me these questions, I'm like, you know what?
If you feel like you have to ask me this, and I don't think we're going the same direction we're going.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
I'll cut that shit out right now.
Bye.
So it's really crazy the way people post these weird things. And well, maybe they just wanted a reaction, and they certainly got it. Speaking of reactions, there's a woman in Karlsruhe, Germany. Karlsruhe, Germany. Her name is Ilone. I'm not sure how to pronounce the E with the two little dots on top. She has a message about gender equality.
E is silent.
Oh, alone then.
Mm-hmm.
Alone.
I only know that because my Spanish teacher complained about my last name. Because you should have the two little dots on top of the U. I'm like, I know. But I don't. Yeah.
Sorry. Then it looked like a happy face.
I know. It would, yeah.
It's
but
like,
I don't.
How do you pronounce this?
I love that comment. That comment, that's it. Nothing can top it.
I'm gonna write my name as like a U. It was a happy face now. Why do you have a happy face? That's just how it is.
Yeah, exactly. Well, she has a message about gender equality and the elimination of of the rape culture. On March 8th, which is International Woman Day, she was using period pads as her medium, and she had thousands of supporters, people wanting to apply for the project, people wanting to apply the same project in their own cities. So what she does is she puts messages on period pads, not tampons, because you can't really write on those.
Gotta squint to read those.
Write on the plastic wrapper.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. She would tape them to buildings or
just stick them on there.
Mm-hmm.
With the adhesive?
Yes, with the adhesive.
It comes with.
Messages like, imagine if men were as disgusted with rape as they are with periods. And others, equality, not man hate. Another one was, rapists rape people, not outfits. And others like, my name is not baby. One of them that I really like, it said, it had like three dots and it said, you would look pretty if, and then in the bottom in bold, it says, no. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I thought this was pretty.
So she was just sticking these pads.
Just around the city. Yeah. A lot of people were, like I said, positive and supportive of her art, and others were shaming her, saying that it's a man-hating message. But she was saying that
it depends on how what they write on there too. If it's specifically I hate men, well then yeah. If it's something else, then it's different.
But
not exactly that.
In her statement, she says she insisted on saying that equality is not man hate.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. Well, I was thinking that.
Mm-hmm. So I think, what do you guys think about this? I thought it was a phenomenal idea. I think that it'd be something really cool to have around the LA area.
A little pun. Her. Fuck, I lost it.
Oh,
damn it! It was something. Let me think about it.
So what do you guys think? I thought it was super cool. I know it's kind of like people are so disgusted with seeing tampons everywhere or period pads, but I thought the message was pretty. I thought the medium really made the message stand out.
It's true. You don't see a pad every day.
She gave her words wings.
Something like that. It was something like
well
that.
Well done. Okay.
Drumroll. Yes. Where is that?
Only women would get that joke.
There you go.
Boom.
Oh, it didn't do the thing.
Oh, it didn't do the symbol. Oh, sorry, guys. But yes,
I worked so hard for that one.
I know, but it was.
I know. I saw the brain, the wheels in your brain turning.
What was it? I know I had to do it with wings.
That was cute. I liked it. I liked it.
No, I enjoyed this. I thought it was really innovative. I thought, man, I could have thought of that, but I didn't.
Yeah, and also I feel like it, on multiple fronts, it's like fighting for like equality. Like it's getting people more aware of like you're seeing all these like feminine products everywhere. Like it's just so taboo. Like, oh, I'm gonna go buy
the
tampon.
They
are. Or and then people are like, oh my god, you're bleeding, you nasty ass bitch. Like, so fucking what? I'm getting all of this shit.
You know how but stores don't give you bags anymore? And the other day, I had to go buy some pads, and I was like, I'm not going to buy a 15-cent bag when there's a bag in my car, you know? Mm-hmm. So I had to walk out of the store with a package of pads in my hand, and I was like, fuck it. Like, it's not my fault they're charging for bags now.
Yeah.
And if you're, like, sensitive to it, like, you act like you've never seen a pad before, you know? But I know I was, like, telling myself that, but low-key I was like, what the fuck, I'm just walking out the store with a bag of pads.
Yeah, because like, it's very taboo. Like, this, that's why I feel like this,
like,
this
I wanted to hide them, but at the same time, I'm going to be like, what the fuck, I need them, bitch.
Yeah.
Say something.
Yeah, like, we feel like that. And it sucks because we need them, but we should not feel shamed or guilty.
It's not, but it's taught. We learned that behavior.
I remember growing up, and my mom would be like, you double bag that. And I'm like, what the fuck?
I don't remember where I learned it, but I remember because I mostly lived with my dad when I was a lot younger, and I got my period at a young age, so I would feel embarrassed when he would have to buy them for me.
Mm-hmm.
I would be like, all right, Dad, I'll be in the magazine section. Bye. You know, I would, like, step off away from him while he was buying it, and he was just like, well, I don't have a choice, you know, you're my daughter,
yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I was younger, I remember in school, like, because, you know, we all have fucking to change our shit during school,
mm-hmm.
I would slyly try to get in my backpack, get my stuff, and just, like, make sure no one's watching that I walk away with something. But now I'm just like...
Or they hear this.
You guys all fucking know?
Yeah.
You need one? You need one?
Or make sure they don't hear, like, this when you take it out.
Yeah, or in the bathroom, even in the woman's bathroom, I felt ashamed to open the wrapper.
Mm-hmm.
We're all women and we all experience it, but I was ashamed. Like that's why I like this little art movement. This feminist art, I guess you would say.
Yeah, it is an art movement.
Like, she is making people feel uncomfortable and comfortable with seeing all these feminine products. She's putting these positive messages on these things to enlighten these motherfuckers, like, yeah, this shit's fucking happening. And it's like out in the open, like, it's just on multiple fronts you're getting
yeah, exactly. Well, when I was growing up, there was a commercial about, you know, those tampons that you the little stem that you push up the tampon into you,
uh-huh.
You can extend it, so it's actually the whole wrapper is really tiny,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like I guess it looks like sugar because it came in these really weird colors. And the message was, now you can, you know, be discreet about it,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, why do I have to be discreet about it? And the commercial shows this girl taking it out and passing it to her friend, and I guess this guy was like, I want some candy. But it wasn't candy.
Oh my god. You're right.
They're shaming our periods, guys. Mm-hmm. So yeah, now I don't give a fuck. I wear a menstrual cup and I'll show it to you. I'll wave it in your face.
As long as it's clean, sure.
Yes. Although one time I did take a picture of my menstrual cup full, and I said it to Frank. He's like, I did not need to see that.
Yeah. I don't think we know.
No. I was going to send it to you guys, but then I'm I don't want to gross you guys out. That's too much.
Thank you. Thank you for not doing that.
That's too much.
Yeah. Little chunks of stride.
Small stride.
But yeah. I remember, like, when I would buy pads and stuff, so I remember them being like, why were they in bright colors? Why is a damn wrapper in, like, a bright orange, mm-hmm. a bright green,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
like, or with something on it? And then I remember, because I used to wear always Stay Free because that's the only brand. I was like, I don't know about these other brands, blah, blah, blah. And then I decided to try, my mom had Kotex. And I was like, okay, I love these. The wrapper is white. It looks like toilet paper. But I was like, when did I care? Like, I don't remember when I cared about the wrapper and, like, what's in the trash can. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you kind of hide it.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever do that? Like,
yeah.
You toss the bag and then you either wrap it or...
Like, you need to wrap that. Like,
Either you wrap it or you put like a lot of toilet paper on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I catch myself doing that to this day, but I'm like, fuck it.
I still do that to this day. I think it's just a hygiene thing now. I mean, I guess it wasn't still to me as a kid to be in a discreet way, but now I'm just like, dude, don't be dirty.
Well, yeah. At this point, I don't have to do that because I have a menstrual cup.
I ordered it,
but the last time I had to buy pads because I was like going away on a trip, and I was like, I don't know, what if I need these as backup? Mm-hmm. I didn't want to estrenar while away.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I was like, I need to buy some.
Nice. That's crazy. It's crazy that we are taught like period shaming. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't even know where it came from. I know my mom has a like who cares type of attitude, because she would be like, who cares, it's natural, whatever, it happens. But I don't know where it came from that I was embarrassed when my dad would buy me pads. And I remember telling my mom, like, why? I would send your dad to buy you diapers. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, yeah.
No, that makes sense.
It's like, okay. And that kind of gave me comfort after she told
I've
me that.
I've had boyfriends
like,
go buy me pads, or I've been with them and they're like paying
and we go to the
store together, and then I'm like, oh shit, I kind of need these, and I'm not gonna come back just because you're with me. And so like we just put everything together and he ends up paying for them, you know. So I mean, I'm not ashamed of it, or I definitely don't try to hide it now.
I just remember going to an aisle with the other half, and he's like, there's so many.
I know,
I still like, feel that.
I know, me, I still feel overwhelmed. Yeah,
so many.
I saw some cool ones at Target when I went. They were, like, organic, I think. And they helped out, I think.
The environment?
Like, I think so. And then, like, the brand helped. No, they were pads. Yeah. And the brand helped, like, fund schooling. Hell knows where. And I'm like, these are awesome. I want these just to help out.
Right.
But low-key, they're kind of expensive.
And that's the thing, too. I remember reading something, I think, on... You know how Snap has, like, these stories, whatever? So I'm subscribed to, like, Cosmo and some other ones. So I forgot who was the one that had these about guys reacting to... buying pads, or like their girlfriends being on their period. They're like, why are they so expensive? It's not your fault that you bleed every month. Like, why are they so you know, this price, and why are there so many different brands? Like, you know,
I don't know.
Did you guys hear that story? And this is similar but kind of sidetracking, about that guy in India that created like the pads for the women in the town, and how he would ask these women like, oh, so how is it with your period? And he would make ask uncomfortable questions, because it was from a rural part of India that they don't talk about that. And he was doing this because he didn't want his wife to suffer having to go wash those cloths at the fucking, like, it was it's a pain in the ass for women in rural India. And so he started doing all this research and creating a pad for them, because they don't have pads. And she left him, because she's like, I don't want to be with a man that's fucking doing all this stuff. It's weird. You're weird. Even though he was trying to make her life easier.
Oh, that's sad.
And so he didn't want her to struggle with this, like, with all of this shit. And so he's doing all of that. But then she was like, no, man, you're too weird.
Oh, that's
fucked up.
Talk about backfire.
She's really stupid.
But then he got a lot of money, and he succeeded in his little place. And then she's like, oh, yeah, I want you back now. Like, you fucking gold digging that bitch. Fuck you.
Yeah.
But yeah. And so he helped millions, like hundreds and thousands of the women in these small rural villages. And, you know, sometimes being a good person doesn't always come out as well, because people are fucking
ignorant.
They're just like, they just don't want to be too different.
Right.
You know, and like, if you're too different, people stare, and then people don't like being stared. So, like, I understand where she comes from, but like, come on, he did this for you guys, for us, for the women to feel less fucking, I don't know, like, denied.
To be honest, I wonder how they did it back in the days. Like,
menstrual cups, like, fucking.
I don't even want to know what they
know.
No,
because
cups in there.
No. Because, like, you know, in tribes, of, you know, you sync up. So all of y'all are, but, you know, all together away from everybody else. And then I have no idea how they did it in, you know, Egypt or Rome. And I know that they call it their blood moon or moon blood, you know. That's what they called it.
The crimson wave.
There you go. But, like, I have no idea, like, it's weird that I want to know because I'm just so curious.
No, man, of course, curious.
Yeah, like, I don't want to know. Well, like Victorian time with those big old dresses.
They were dirty as fuck, though.
That's true.
They were dirty as fuck.
I don't know yeah, that's the time did. Period I was thinking of, like when they threw out their shit out the window.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
God. They're throwing yes. out their blood out the window.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's just like, I don't want to know.
And then those period poops.
Ooh.
No, man.
That different is level.
That is, oh my god, that's like a massacre.
That's
it's horrible.
Disgusting.
Yes. It is. Wow. So imagine, I'm so glad I live in this time. Like,
yeah.
Flushing toilets, yay. Yes. But you know, I just.
Well, I don't know. It's so weird. And maybe on that branch of your mindset right now, I saw this this kind of documentary on this tribe in the Amazon, where the women, they had their own kind of meetings, and then they would teach other girls about their way, the woman ways. There was actually a plant that only the women knew how to find, and that was for contraception. None of the men knew or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's a secret. To this day, the people who actually did the documentary were not allowed to know where this plant was. But, you know, it's like they have followed their way of life for so long that they made changes, or, you know, they have these implemented things they pass down that help them.
Crazy. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They said that particular tribe, they all had to agree because they were kind of nomadic.
Mm-hmm.
They had to all agree as a community for somebody to get pregnant, and they would all raise the child as a community. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I was like, how are they going to prevent getting pregnant? And it's like, oh, there's this tree or this whatever. And that's, you know, they go there on their own. The men are not allowed to go. And that's how they take care of it.
It's crazy because I know that every time period knew of how to a contraceptive or how to, like, basically make yourself have an abortion or miscarry, mm-hmm, or whatever, mm-hmm, because, mm-hmm, of, like, a tea or spice or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, how do they do the period thing? Because you can't stop that.
Yeah. And speaking of the whole contraception thing, during, I guess, like, the 1800s, there was this, like, mechanism made out of a wire with a sponge at the end.
Oh.
That they would soak in Lysol, and after sex, the women would wash themselves with the sponge on a wire. And because this contraption was so expensive, they would end up sharing it with their lady friends. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I mean, the struggle was real.
When was that?
Like, I think in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. I'll look Jeez it up and I'll Louise. Post it on the page, and that way, and I'll share it with you guys. But I did read that, and I was like, "What the Dang. Fuck? Yeah,
that's crazy. It's just crazy."
Yeah, come on, you guys. Let's all share a sponge and a wire together. We'll bond.
I think I'd get pregnant.
Sorry, guys. I'll take one for the team or something.
No, yeah, sure,
it's just, baffles me, like, how it's like the what, okay,
and they thought, like, yeah, this is a good idea.
Seriously, like, there's many mysteries in the world, but that's one of the mysteries I want to know. How did women back then,
we should research,
deal with
it.
Their period?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that'll be my thesis.
I know, right? That'd be super cool. Well, there's this lady named Thord Elva's the last name. She's a rape survivor who co-wrote a book with her attacker. This woman was raped by her boyfriend at 16. She confronted her assailant in an effort to move forward. She wrote a book with him called South of Forgiveness. Elva and Tom Stranger. They were in a relationship.
Stranger danger. There you go. You don't
right?
date them.
I know, right?
I'm just kidding.
They were in a relationship when Stranger was an exchange student in Iceland. At a Christmas party, Elva became very ill from drinking too much. And he took her home and raped her while she was barely conscious. She was 16 then. She did not report the incident, but was haunted by it for like 9 years. She tracked him down, and then and when she did, she emailed him, and he actually took full responsibility for what he did to her. It was Elva's path towards forgiving Stranger. This book helped Elva open up an even greater dialogue for the victim, who faces the blame, mm-hmm, in most of these instances. There's no right or wrong way to react to violence, but hopefully her personal story will help victims understand that they are not to blame for their actions. So now I want to read the book.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, I'm curious. I wanna know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at the link you sent us, and if you open it, there's a TED Talk that they did. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I didn't see that.
I watched it, and it's just the two of them giving dialogue, like reading an excerpt of the book, mm-hmm. and then opening up some dialogue based on what they read. And to me, it was just like, my brain had a hard time registering it. I'm like, what the fuck? She's just standing next to the guy that raped her, discussing mm-hmm. it, mm-hmm. like, nothing anymore, you know? And it was, mm-hmm. My brain was like, what? But she was just saying that this was her way of dealing with it. And also, one thing that stuck with me, she said something along the lines of, like, how do we want to implement this change without exposing it, you know? So she's like, this is what I'm trying to do with my book. Mm. And portraying both sides of the story. Because he admits that he reached out to her, like, her email. Mm. He responded to it because he felt guilty for what he had done, like, 9 years prior to that wow. email. And I'm just like, what the hell? Like, I don't know. That TED Talk was like 20 minutes, but I was like, the whole time I was watching it, like,
what?
Yeah. And I had to replay it, like, you know, rewind it a little bit, because I was like, everything they're saying makes sense, but the way they're presenting it is so uncommon, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you're right. Maybe let's write a book together because we're both over it now.
But see, that's the thing I find really fascinating about this particular story is that they're handling it a whole different way.
Yes.
And that's not to say that a lot of other people feel the same way. For instance, I mean, there, like she was saying, there is no right way to handle a situation like this. For instance, I mean, there's a lot of people, how they react to certain events in their mm-hmm. life, and not all of them are, like, being the victim or blaming yourself. I mean, some of these are, like, I just really want to move on with my life. Mm-hmm. I'm going to open up a can of worms. But for myself, it was an instance where I got really drunk, and I couldn't find my friend, and this guy said he'd take me to my friend. So I got in his car, and I woke up on his bed with my hands on my stomach, but he had put me on my stomach, so I was basically just pinned down by my own weight, and he was on top of me, and I was on my period too. He took my freaking pad off.
Ew.
Yeah, I know. And and I woke up to him already raping me, and I remember asking him to stop, and he's like, I'm almost done. I was like, wow. I mean, it's funny that I laugh about it right now, because I'm not haunted by it.
Yeah.
For a long time, I was like, I felt it was my fault. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I didn't even hate him. I hated myself for putting myself in that situation. And I don't hate him now. Because he did call me, and he told me that he was drunk, and he had to go to work, so he took a lot of drugs, cocaine, mm-hmm. And he felt so bad for what he did to me, because that wasn't who he was. I didn't accept his apology, but I'm not mad at him, and I'm no longer mad at myself. I think the way I read this was like I can relate to where she's coming from as far as her writing a book with this guy and moving past it.
Yeah.
Would I see him again and talk to him? Maybe not, because I'm over it. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be like, I wouldn't break down into tears, nor would I like try to fight him, nor would I cry because I was, you know, a victim. It's just something that happened, and I don't care. Mm. Like, I don't care. Mm. It's not something that made me not ever want to have sex. It didn't make me feel dirty. I did the whole thing where you see in the movies where the girl gets in the shower and she, like, scrubs herself. Mm. I thought that was so cliche. It's actually true. You do that. So, yeah, that was my story. So I can relate to where she's kind of coming from. I'm sorry I had to share that, guys. No, I just feel like another kind of story needed to be shared. Because Tori Amos, she was also raped by a family member. She, it was multiple for her, like over a period of time. And she, all her music and all her movement, the rainbow movement, it's all about that. A particular moment and thing that happened to her, and it's like she, I feel like she's reliving it in what I see, what I hear. I feel like she relives it. But this situation happens to a lot of females that actually never come out and say it, so
makes sense that, well, it's like Basket Case said, it's so uncommon, like how they're moving forward, but at the same time you don't really hear that part of that story. You hear the rape, it happened, and they're tore up about it, but you don't ever really hear about the aftermath. Like,
I have two friends that have been raped, and they're pretty close. I talk to them kind of often, and I know the post. And it, there's a while in their lives where they just feel like they are the most terrible thing on this earth. Like, they feel like they are the ones that brought this upon themselves, and it's someone they knew. Both of the cases were their boyfriends.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I and think that would real that I think would be worse for me, like if that happened.
Yeah, both of them were their boyfriends.
Like, if it would have been my boyfriend or my friend, I think I would not be over it.
Well, this is the thing, because you know how everyone copes with things very differently. One of my friends still randomly talks to the guy. Talks to the rapist.
So fucking weird.
And it's just, I can't understand, and I don't want to say anything about it, because I will never know how she feels. I will never be able to grasp what is going through her mind and say, you're a fucking idiot for going back to that. Like, I can't say that, because I am not entitled to tell her how she should deal with her feelings. And if she wants to talk to this guy, well, I can't stop her. I can only be there if something happens.
Yeah.
Because I can't force her to do something she doesn't want to do. I can't start talking shit about this boy, because then she defends him. And so, like, we all cope with things very differently. And for hers, that was that way. Like, she talks to him every now and then, and she's doing a lot better. She sometimes, like, it's just very weird, because sometimes if something triggers where she remembers, she starts breaking into hives. But somehow she can still talk to the guy. And I'm like, wouldn't that trigger you?
Right. So she didn't press charges, either one of them? No.
You know, I have an aunt who breaks out into hives, because she doesn't stress out like we all do, where we just kind of go crazy and stress. Mm-hmm. She's like, she holds it in, and her job is really stressful, so she breaks out into hives. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, if this is her
way of coping with
it? Yeah, like, because she doesn't lash out at him.
Yeah.
She breaks out into hives all on her own.
Maybe. I would, that's very plausible, because
I don't get it.
I really don't. And that's why when I saw this article, and how, at first I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's
talking to this guy, you're writing a fucking book, and you're just like, nothing about it? I wouldn't be able to do that. But then I thought of my friend, how she's talking to this guy. She's not writing a book or anything, but she's still having some sort of conversation with him.
Some kind of dialogue.
And so then it hit me. I'm just like, everyone has their way of dealing with things. And for her, it's that way. And my other friend, she's just trying to move on with her life. And so, like, she cut all contacts with him. She's different in the way she interacts with guys now. But doesn't mean she stopped interacting with the opposite sex. But, like, it's different for every woman, because every woman is very different, and every situation that led to that event or that was the rape event itself was very different for each one. So, like, there is, like, you, I think someone mentioned in one of you guys, there's no right or wrong way of dealing with something.
Yeah.
It's the way that we feel best, and that's how it is.
This is true.
Yeah. Sorry, I brought down the... Brought it down.
But the thing is, no, because I feel like, yes, this is a sad moment in women's lives, or in men's lives. Both men and women get raped. And so, like, exactly. The fact that you can come back from the ashes, like a phoenix,
Phoenix.
Like,
yep.
Beauty
for ashes.
They have gone through some fucking struggles, and they've seen the worst in someone, and someone they've trusted, because most rape victims are by someone they know. It's never a stranger. Yeah. And so to be able to trust again, to be able to love again, to be able to go back to your life as best as you can, that is fucking strength.
You know that the only, the only thing that came up in my head that I thought of was Private Practice. What's her face? Is it Victoria? No. The blonde chick that was Charlotte.
Oh, her. That's right. That was very violent.
Yes.
But not only was it not only was it like rape and penetration, it was also
she got beat up
like severely, and she couldn't have sex with her husband,
boyfriend. But that process and like how she overcame and like where she's at, that's what I was thinking of, like her coming up from that.
Like there's beauty in destruction too.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mother Nature, she causes some shit. She does a lot of damage, but, you know, like, there's beauty with it. It's not all just destruction. There's an after.
Beauty for ashes.
And I think it's great how, like, us as women, as in the times that we're living right now, where, like, there's a lot of positive messages out there, you know, that we can feed off that and we can, like, empower each other. And I think that helps out a lot, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On a slightly funny note, and totally different from what we're talking about, but just
to lighten
the mood.
Yeah, let's move on.
Just to lighten the mood, my other half found a white hair
on his head.
On
you? Oh my god!
You only found one? Whoop-de-doo, girl. I got like a bunch in my head.
I was like, what?
What do you mean?
It was like 2 weeks ago. I don't know how I had my hair since I had my hair up, but I don't remember how I had my hair.
And they stick out, don't
and
they?
The fact that he was able to find it while my hair is up, I'm just like, what the? He's like, yo, what? He's like, turned around, he looked at me, he's like, don't move. I was like, what? Why? And before I could like figure it out what was happening, he pulled it out. He's like, you have a white hair. And that shit was as white as freaking snow. From the little root. And it was long. I was like, what?
Why
the
didn't
hell?
Nobody tell me?
Yeah, I was like, ¿Por qué? I was like, what? I'm too young for this.
Oh, it's crazy, man. That's freaking crazy.
Oh, man. I'm like, I need to start taking vitamins, antioxidants. I need to, like, take care of this. Then I don't know. No more white hairs. No.
You just have to start dyeing black.
Yeah, I was like, what? That all helped?
I don't know. I'm just like, I don't know what, you know, all these thoughts ran through my head. Like, what do I do to prevent this?
Yeah.
What do I do?
Can't do anything. You just have to ride the wave.
The
crimson wave.
I'm kidding. I saw my mom after that, but I was too ashamed to tell her.
Oh, my God.
But I wanted to kind of ask her, like, Ma, what age did you start getting white hairs? So I could kind of, like, but I couldn't. It chickened out. I was like, I can't.
I'll tell you this. You get it at any age, girl. I'm younger than you, and I already found like fucking five.
Mm-hmm. This is true too.
Mm-hmm. That's
it doesn't matter. I think it's just your genetics, maybe the stress level. Fucking,
I don't
God
know.
Because
I mean, my mom's
lack of melatonin.
40.
I don't know.
Whatever that shit is. Yeah.
I don't know how old my mom is. Hold on.
Yeah, because I found a lot, and they're like on my baby hairs right here in the front, so you can fucking tell. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Luckily, they're small, but they're like right here in the front, so you can clearly see them sometimes.
My mom's going to be 49 this year. Holy.
Almost a quarter.
Holy crap. But like her skin's pretty good. Okay. Another thing I'm going to share to lighten them.
Her skin's pretty good.
It is. Okay, I say it like that because I don't really look at my mom like super close, like when you're putting on somebody's makeup clothes.
Uh-huh.
So for my brother's graduation, I put on mine, and then I asked her, do you want me to do yours? She's like, yeah, sure. So I colored in her eyebrows, and then when I got to, I was like, do you want liquid eyeliner? She's like, yeah. But when I put on her eyeliner, I noticed that she has, I love you, Mom, I'm not saying this in a bad way, she has like wrinkles like on the eyelids. And I was like, okay, so this is taking me a lot longer to put on eyeliner than it would be, like, on me or somebody else.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no. That's, and then I kind of started getting, like, low-key sad because I'm like, my mommy's getting old.
Aww.
I'm like, no. Because I know her freckles are starting to, like, come together. So it's, like, a spot now on her face. Sounds like great. I'm going to have to look forward to that. And you guys know how many I have on my face.
Freckles.
You're going to go, it's going to be like one big black dot on my face.
Like, fuck. Microderm abrasion.
And there you go. Like, oh, man.
That's what I'm saying.
But, you know, I now that I was really close to her face, like, I noticed stuff. And I'm like, my mommy, she's getting older. But I like that she looked really nice in the makeup, though. I was like, man, I would never thought that you would get wrinkles, like, on your eyelid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they
like
start dropping a little bit.
Like,
I hate that.
Right where, you know, right at the very, where you put your liquid eyeliner, basically.
Yeah.
Like, right there.
Oh,
it's like, exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And she does not put on makeup ever, guys. Ever. Mm-hmm. None. The most that I did that day was just her eyebrows, eyeliner, and lipstick. That was a lot. So it's like crazy because I know I have pretty decent skin because that woman is barely starting to, for lack of a better word, crack. And, you know, so I'm like, oh, geez. And this is a lady that believes in sunblock like there's no tomorrow. Every day.
Yeah.
And it's not 50.
Yeah, you
it's
can't
100.
Put it on your, you can't put it on your eyelids.
No,
so.
But she just, you know, everything else. So, you know, she's not really like wrinkly except for like right there. It's crazy. And like I'm starting to see like a little bit here and like right here, but I mean
the marionette lines.
Yeah, okay, but I'm starting to see
you're saying all these things and I'm just like
I've been researching, fools. I'm 41.
You know what, I actually, when I was in Ensenada, I found a spa and they do these facials that I'm gonna go back for. Because I'm like, I'm hitting 30. I need to start doing something.
Yeah, you
and then you're saying your mom doesn't wear makeup like since always.
Never. She never poured
so
makeup.
See, that's probably really good. And I started young as fuck wearing eyeliner. So
she,
I've been wrinkling my eyelids for
more
than 10 years already. Fuck. What have I done?
If anything, she probably did like lip liner and lipstick. But everything else, no. Because, okay, I know I'm learning this makeup shit like right now, basically. And like she got like this cute little palette from Ulta. For one of her students gave it to it. She teaches pre-K, okay? So one of her students, which was the parent really that gave it to her, she puts on like her little bronzer thing. It's so light and it's so cute. I'm like, oh, mom, you're not even doing it right. It's so cute. And I do not have the heart to tell you that because, you know, you're my mama. It was a cute
moment.
That's cute how you don't tell your mama.
I can't.
I tell my mama, mom. You did your eyebrows too dark.
I can't because, like, you know.
Blend, mom.
Blend
that shit, mom.
I can't because I know that she's 40-something and starting to play with this stuff. And I get it.
Oh my God,
I feel
that's
bad
adorable.
Because I left the house at 19. And, you know, she didn't get to do that stuff. And it hurts me because she said when I was born, she's like, oh, I have a little doll to play with and I get to do this and stuff. Not really. Because I, you know.
Well, you could have started playing with makeup at 14, like me, and then you would have had 5 years.
Yeah, but even then, like, I was with my dad. You know,
your
it's
fault.
So different. You know, a lot of
way
people,
to go,
exactly.
God damn it.
I mean, it's not your fault.
I blame my mom's lack of girliness on me. I do. Honestly, low-key, I do, because it wasn't there when I made her braids before she had, like, her surgery thing. You know, I was like, oh, my God, why don't I do this anymore? Like, why didn't I ever play with her hair instead of me waiting for her to play with mine? Like, it's just, it's mind-blowing. It's like, I'm sorry,
well, I'm like that now that my mom's older. I see her aging, and I'm just like, look, mom, this girl's hair, let's use it. But really, it's for her. I'm just like.
Yeah, I feel like I need to, like, do that with her. Like, that's the only way I think she'll do stuff, if I say I'm doing it with her. And she's very big on, like, natural stuff. Like, look, you could do this to whiten your teeth. And I still don't do it. But she looks up so much stuff on Pinterest. And I'm like,
feel
okay.
You.
I feel like mothers are like that, man.
I'll be like, la sábila is good for this, this, and this. So let's use it.
Yeah. Like, I
and
honestly
go,
feel like I have to,
get
like,
around her.
Go and tell her, let's do this. Like, I'm trying to kind of push Lush products on her. But I know that she's going to think it's expensive. But Lush is not that expensive. But I already know her. It's muy caro.
Okay. Well, try with the do-it-yourself masks at home, like the one, the oatmeal one, the turmeric one.
She'll do that. For sure she'll do that because I'm like, Mom, what is that crap in your hair? And she'll tell me, oh, it's esto, esto, esto. Yeah. To make your hair shiny. I'm like, okay. So that's,
man,
I'm like.
They like that natural
it
shit.
Together, that's what I have to do, you know, for this lady. I have to do the same thing with her makeup. Oh, God. Because they know her eyebrows are always on point. When it was the trend of having them thin, she had them nice and thin, pretty in shape. Right now, they're a little bit thicker. They're not as thick, but they're still good. It's like, mm-hmm. my mom's never had jacked up eyebrows. And I'm like, Mom, how do you do it?
She was just born that way.
I guess. I'm like, hi, Mom.
I want to get mine microbladed because mine, like, if I wax too often, or I mean thread or wax too often, they start disappearing, like the tails of them. Mm. Like, I'll have, like, half an eyebrow.
Aww.
Yeah, like, I have to go every 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I can't go, like, every other week because I'll start disappearing. The lady will be like, come back in 2 weeks. And I'm like, fuck you, man.
I know my eyebrows. I ain't coming in 2 weeks.
No.
Speaking of aging gracefully, I don't know if you guys have seen Wonder Woman.
No, I haven't
but
yet.
One of the actors on it who plays the general is she is Princess Buttercup. I don't know if you guys know the Princess Bride.
Really?
Yes, she is. Robin Wright.
House of Cards. Fucking that House lady has cards. A good ass fuck. She has no, a I haven't seen
House
of
Cards. I haven't seen House of Cards either.
Watch it.
I've heard good things.
I know, I've heard good things too. So I watched like half of the first episode.
Yeah, I'm on season 3.
I really like Kevin
Spacey. He's a fucking rock solid actor. You will love House of Cards if you
love
Kevin Spacey.
Oh yeah,
I love Kevin Spacey.
You will adore you will
haven't had the chance to like sit down and really watch it.
I'm not even gonna lie. With House of Cards, you do have to sit down and watch it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He deserves my full attention.
Absolutely.
It's politics. You have to pay attention.
Yeah, exactly.
Like with Scandal,
is
like,
it kind of like Scandal?
I don't need no distraction.
No.
I'm sorry,
Is it like Scandal but better? I hate Scandal, actually, but I can't stop fucking watching it. It's like,
I have
it's
to like,
better. I think
I
it's better
to
than
love
Scandal.
It.
I think it's better.
Yeah, because Scandal, I feel it's.
It's very Cinderella and helpless ass girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you want to smack her up.
Yeah.
But she's so fucking smart.
Yeah.
And you're just like, come on, really? You're really smart. You can do so much better than.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I'm like, though, sorry. I'm like the queen of being behind on shit, okay?
Yeah, there's just too much, it's too much useless drama in Scandal.
Yeah, I know.
It's useless drama.
And I can't and help House but watch it every fucking week.
Yeah, because
anyway.
You want that useless drama. But House of Cards, it's like actual real shit. Fact. It's just like, fuck, god damn, what the fuck? It's literally, I think it's way better
than Scandal.
I can't
wait to watch that.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, and if anyone watches Sense 8, they canceled season 4.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
I know.
Disgusting.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we were saying Claire, the wife of Kevin Spacey in House of Cards, she is Princess Buttercup in Princess Bride. If you haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. It's a great movie.
Mm-hmm. Princess Bride.
She's also what's in Forrest Gump. What's her name?
Oh, Jenny.
She's Jenny.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Yeah.
You didn't know that?
No, I've never clicked that.
She's Jenny.
Jenny.
I feel stupid for not connecting that. That is so true. That is. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes.
So stupid.
So, anyways, she plays the general of the Amazons. And she charges out there on her horse with the wrinkles and her scars and everything. And she looks phenomenal. So if you guys can take anything away from this podcast today, go see Wonder Woman. It's super amazing movie. It's really empowering to females. Really strong, really wonderful message about love and compassion.
You're already telling me too much. I'm just kidding.
I'm like, okay, I should shut up. No, but yes, and Hippolyta is played by, if you guys remember Gladiator, and she's the sister of the Joaquin Phoenix.
Okay.
Yeah. So nice. It's a lot of great actors. It's a really great film, and just the women. I grew up watching Princess Bride, so for me it was like, whoa, I got to see my princess become a general. Fucking awesome. Like Organa, too. She's Princess Leia and becomes freaking General Organa.
I saw that meme somewhere.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Super amazing. Yeah. We're living in a new age, girls, that we should, like, embrace.
It's an actual pretty good DC movie for the DC
universe. Oh my God, it is holding up the DC universe by its own.
I knew it would. I always said that Wonder Woman would redeem it. I said it. Record show, it's recorded.
Well,
I said it.
Then watch
episode
47.
I would.
If we go back.
Want to know something funny? he had to ask me, hey, is it okay if Jacob and I watch it? No, because I was going to be here. And I was like, I can't say no to the boy. Yes, yeah. Go for it. Just do it. I don't know who I'm going to end up watching it with.
Hey, I'll watch it again.
I'll watch it again.
I'll watch it again. Because this is my second time watching it, by the way.
Because he told me that, he's like, it depends. I'm like, man, I already know how you criticize these movies. That's a big step.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and then my other roommate's seen it, and I'm like, the girl that hardly ever goes out to the movies has seen it.
Yeah. I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it for a second time, and this would be my third. If you want to go, I'm down.
Sweet.
Yeah. That's a really good movie.
Maybe this weekend. Maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a really great, and, you know, title of this episode will be Women Empowerment, I think.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. So I think this will bring us to the end of our episode. We don't want to spoil Wonder Woman for anyone except to say that it's wonderful.
It's number one in the box office.
Yeah. Do you guys have any shout-outs or anything?
Nope.
Mm-mm, I don't think so.
Not today. I watched La La Land. Shout out to that. I finally
Oh, my God.
Barely?
Yes. I haven't
seen it. That came out like last December, right?
Right.
Yes.
Right. What the fuck?
Yes. Yes. It's been forever for me. One, because
everybody like it.
I How about the end? I loved it. I loved it all. Like, I was texting Eric in it. I was like, we have to watch it. Like, it's impressing me a lot. I was like, okay. The fact that he said it's impressing you. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, because I tell him sometimes with the movies that I want to watch with him, like, it's not that girly. Like, you know, I'm really big on chick flicks, but it's not like that. You'll like it.
Mm-hmm. I didn't really want to like it, but I liked it.
Mm. I liked it a lot. I was like, I love the way they did it. It's just, because I was surprised, and I guess everybody's seen it. I was like, what? I thought this takes place in the 50s. Like, no, it's mm-hmm. modern time, but I love the way they did it. And I love I loved it. I'm like, the places that they go, I'm like, I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Not been there. Been there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's great. I actually want the soundtrack. That's how much I loved it.
I listened to it on Spotify for like ever.
But I like, after I watched it. I even looked it up like afterwards. Okay, the soundtrack's only $10. I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I can do this. $10. Not bad. Yeah. I mean, the only other musical I have in my iTunes is Phantom of the Opera. That's it.
This movie reminded me a lot of Amelie, the French film.
I have not seen it.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. You haven't seen
Amelie? No.
My that's like the most generic. The best movie ever.
Really? Most generic French film. Everyone has watched it.
Yeah.
Not me.
I think
not
I have.
A terrible hey, movie watcher.
I think
you
I
name
have it,
I haven't seen it. That's how bad I am at movies.
It is. I really loved it. I thought the way they filmed it, and it was great. I loved it.
Because if you like La La Land, you'll fucking love Amelie. And the soundtrack is amazing. The cinematography.
Is that musical as everything. Well?
It's not a musical per se, but just the soundtrack alone just carries that shit. Because you know how in La La Land, the way they filmed it just shows the beauty of the city?
Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing that they did with Amelie. Like, this just shows you the beauty and just, like, there's color to it, like everything is in yellows and greens, and it's just
it's
beautiful.
Kind of a kind of filter it's in,
mm-hmm.
and the music, the score really plays really well with mm-hmm. it. It was a perfect marriage of everything.
Yeah, so that's why if you like La La Land, I think you will like Amelie.
I think it's on Netflix too.
I think it might
Is it the girl with the short hair?
Yes.
I know the cover. I just haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We highly recommend something. Yeah. I think if you guys like La La Land, I think you guys will definitely like that one.
I love La La Land. So now I want to see La La Land.
I'll watch it again with you.
Watch it.
I will watch it again with you.
Nice.
Same.
Because, you know, I don't know if it's still there. Because there's this rooftop cinema, and it's in, like, Hollywoodish area. Where you watch a movie, like, at the rooftop, and it's really nice, and it just overlooks it.
Yeah.
And I've been there to one of the movies, and it's the most beautiful experience ever. And summer's coming, so they should mm-hmm. be out there.
They should be doing that.
And
the
they
outdoor
had,
ones, too.
Yeah, they had La La Land playing and Moonlight. And so that I would love to see those there because it'll just add to the ambiance.
Yeah. Moonlight was such a great movie.
And then you can buy wine and beers and stuff, craft beers and stuff out there.
Ooh,
so I think you would like that,
I'm
too.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I do a lot of that stuff in the summer.
Yeah.
It's
pretty bougie.
I think Grand Park, they do it, too.
And Pasadena mm-hmm. has
and
the
cemetery.
Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's happening a lot right now, so I definitely think they're gonna have La La Land and Moonlight.
Of course.
You have to get your tickets in advance because they go out like that.
Out.
But mm-hmm. it would be perfect to see it like that because I'm not gonna lie, La La Land is Mm, pretty good.
Nice.
All right, so the moral of the story is watch Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Watch La La Land.
If you haven't.
Watch,
if you haven't already. 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I live under a rock. And Emil, right?
Amelie. Yes.
Emily, the three. Yes.
Any shout-outs, guys?
No.
No? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that brings our episode to a closing. We have been your hosts. I am Jean de Filgueria.
Beth Kate.
Star Child.
Shorty.
Thanks for listening, guys.